Invite Tom Milligan is part of our teaching team here. So Tom's going to come up and we're going to get blessed to get to hear from him today. So
good morning. This is my test to whether I belong in the class for public speaking or not. On the job training, right? So welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. I appreciate it. And allow me to mess up the front of the church for the service this morning. But we're speaking this morning. Pastor Perry asked me some time ago to speak on your heritage. And the particular topic we're going to talk about this morning is your compass. Well, those of you that know me know I don't do any camping or anything like that. I've got a bed at home that's paid for. And I don't need to look at moss on the north sides of trees if I don't go out with the trees. You know, it's fine. But I do a fair amount of woodworking. And I found some pretty good similarities between a compass and woodworking. And we're going to be talking about some things that we need to have in our lives that will help us and set direction on things where we need to go. How many of you remember the old Bargain City? The old Bargain City. Do y'all remember what that used to be before? It was a roller rink. Now, the thing that I remember is that when you'd go in there with your shopping cart, if you'd leave it sit, you'd have to chase it down. Y'all remember that? Now, why is that? The floors were warped and the floors weren't level. You got it. You ever get the shopping cart when you go to the store, the one with the square wheel? Now, my first real job was working at Big Bear. And some of you will remember the grocery store. And my first real job was chasing grocery carts. People would leave them all over, and I had to go get them. And that's what I got paid to do, was bring in shopping carts. And one of the things you learned early on is you'd never put the one with the square wheel in the front. Ask me how I know that. So, but anyway, it's good to be here. I've got some tools. When we're talking about compass, it's important to know what direction we're going in life. It's important to understand decisions that we make, and important to understand that to get where we're going, we need to have some guidelines. We need to have some measurements. We need to have to be able to know where we're going to end up. I shouldn't pick on her. She's not here, but she's okay with it. Myself and our three children have a wonderful sense of direction. We know pretty much where we're going. The missus, not so much. When they came out with GPSs, it pretty much saved its cost with gasoline. Going around Fort Wayne is a little tricky. That's all I'll say. I'm going to hold up some tools, see if you all know what they are. It's a square. You know what a square is for? Make sure something's square. Pretty good, huh? You can figure, you can make steps with this thing. You can figure rafters to know what the pitch is on the rafters. You can draw straight lines with this thing. You can do all kinds of, because that's a right angle. Okay? Wonderful tool. You can't build anything just about without that. How about this one? That's called a tri-square. You try something, if it's not square, you try again. But no, really, it's called a tri-square, and it's got the little 45-degree thing on here where you can kind of, you know, set things at a 45-degree angle, you know, because two 45s make a, which is a square. And it's even got a little level in there so you can kind of see. Somebody, how about this one? Level. What's that for? Now, somebody got real smart and put two levels on. So you can snap this on a pole and you can see if it's level both ways. If you're ever setting a post for a deck or something, there's your tool. My dad always said growing up, you can either have kids or you can have tools, but you can't have both. Just a little. What'd you call it? Speed square. Just fits right here. You can carry it around with you. It's a little square. You can measure. It's got angles where you can set pitch on roof. You can do all kinds of wonderful. You can draw straight lines with this one too. Wonderful little tool. But you can carry it. A little easier fits in there than that guy. Now, how in the world can you check if something's even and square with this thing? If you're building a box, if you measure this diagonal, and then you measure this diagonal, if they're the same, it's square. Wonderful little tool. See, this one's great. This one's actually got a magnet on the back. By the way, I do have a point to all this. Okay, this has got a magnet on the back. This is the one you use for long distances because that little 4 foot one isn't big enough to measure across this building to see what it is. But you can tie a string from that end to this end and hang this dude on there and you can see whether it's level or not. Okay, so the smaller one actually works better for that. This is a plumb bob. Okay. Now, Thad, you're about dead on. Is that cross? Is it plumb or is it crooked? Straight. Because that's straight. You can't make that crooked. You simply can't. It's going to be straight. It's going to hang plumb up and down. This is something else you can use for a plumb bob. But mostly I use this when I'm putting shingles on a roof because you can stretch this across. It's got full of chalk. And you can stretch this across the roof. Somebody hold it on this end. Somebody hold it on this end. Snap the middle. And now I've got an orange line right down. And I know where the straight line is. And I can hit that sucker every time when I use a chalk line. You go up every few feet. Put one of these on there. Your roof will be as straight as an arrow. Cool little tool. Now we'll chalk that one up. This is a little guy I use when I'm building drawers or building dressers or things where I can't fit the big square in there. This is a nice little guy. He'll fit right in. I tell him whether my table saw is perfectly square to my rip fence and all kinds of wonderful stuff with this thing, this little guy. Why is it important to know what angles and whether things are straight and square and level or not? Why is it important? There's a Bible verse. Let's see here. There's a Bible verse I want to talk about. I think it's important to get everything pretty much right. There's the real one. You've all spoken. You've all wanted to do that, haven't you? Every one of you. Yeah, beat you to it. Now, when you're cutting corners for, say, a picture frame, the corners need to be what? In order to all four of them fit, they need to be square, right? How many degrees? 90. Well, you're going to slice it in half, so each one is what? 45. What if you just do 44? What's going to happen if I do a 44 on all four of those pieces? Not a 45. Let me show you what happens. That's what happens. You wouldn't think that 1 degree off is going to turn into that. These other three corners fit great. But guess what? In the end, I've got a mess. Now, how many of these corners do I have to fix? All of them. I've got to make eight correction cuts. Fix this for 1 degree. Now, if it was only a half a degree, is the gap will be a little bit smaller, but it's caulk it. I've heard it said that caulk covers a multitude of sins. Yeah. But we're talking about the family and compass and the things of that nature. The family compass, and we're studying the book, The Heritage, and this quote is lifted right out of the book. The family compass is the standard of normal, healthy living against which children, I'm going to play a little bit on that too, children will be able to measure their attitudes, actions, and beliefs. Now, we raised our children believing, we taught them everything, that we knew. Some of you know the kids. They're all adults now. They're ranging. Well, the girls are in their 40s and the boys in his 30s. But we had some things that we did around the house. Just kind of fun. I love pockets. Can you all see what that is? You ever heard of precious moments? This is just a certain body part of precious moments. We used to have several of these. And one of our children broke it. And the rest of the precious moment was in 1,000 pieces. Except the head. Guess what we've done with this head? We have passed this puppy around for years. It has gone to Russia. When our oldest daughter was going over to Russia to adopt children and bring them back, they opened up their luggage and guess what was there? We have found it inside. You go to pump gas in the car and you pull open the gas can and you go, and there's the head. We found it in birthday cakes. We have found it. I'm particularly ornery. My oldest daughter used to work in a flower shop in a little town in Indiana. So I called the flower shop to see if they'd be willing to play along with me and deliver this to the house. So my daughter was getting all excited, all wonderful, thinking that she was getting flowers. She got a head. I sent it one time to another daughter from Marion Christian Center so she'd open it, and it was $5 COD. Part of the Milligan household is that we have some fun while we're doing some things. Now, by the way, we're speaking about being a little bit off. Y'all remember the story of Adam and Eve? Now, wait a minute. Off in my family. That wasn't supposed to be in the same sentence, all right? Sorry. But you remember the story of Adam and Eve? What were they told not to do? Eat of the fruit of the tree. When Satan tempted Eve, of course, the Bible says Adam was standing right there. But when he tempted Eve, what did Eve say that God told him not to do? To eat it or touch it. How important do you think it is to get Scripture straight? To get it lined up? That's just a little bit off. It's not very far off. But look what happened. We're a long way off from where God intended us to be. Okay? So, I did something that was kind of dangerous with my children, too. I sent them a few weeks ago, after Pastor Perry asked me to speak, I sent them a few weeks ago three questions. And not really knowing what the answers would be. The first one was, what was the most important thing we taught you growing up? That could be dangerous, right? But I want to read the answers. One of them said the most important thing was to trust God in all situations. The second one said not to worry about what others think. Cool. The third one wrote a book. And I'm not going to tell you which is which, okay? The third one said, blessed to live in a place and time when using your gifts and working hard can make a ridiculously good life. Don't waste it then. Turn and give generously of resources and time. This was demonstrated more than verbalized. And now it's the grandchildren's turn. I asked them also, what was your favorite tradition? Are there any traditions that we had growing up that you still do? And they all three said the same thing. Old grumpy dad, on Christmas morning, we don't get up before 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. They'd sit at the top of the stairs waiting for... Guess what tradition they have carried on to their households now that they have children? It's 8 o'clock in the Ellis, Earhart, and Milligan household now. Cool. our compass is being watched by others. The first one said that children, but I believe that our compass, how we live our life is being watched by other people, both Christians and non-Christians. Being in business for 40 years, you have a lot of opportunity to be around people. Some of them are believers, some of them aren't believers. But we have the opportunity, and I guarantee you people are watching to see what we're doing. It's important that we try to have a compass in our life that we can rely upon, something that we can trust. Now, in the Bible, it talks about, back in Judges, that there was no king in Israel, and everybody eyeballed it. They did what was right in their own eyes. Now, I would challenge anybody in here to just look at an angle and tell me if it's 44 degrees or 45. If I were to tear this apart and show you the boards themselves, there might be one person in here, but I certainly couldn't eyeball and tell which was which until I got out one of my gizmos back there to figure out, something's not right. Instead of waiting until I got to that to figure out that something's not right. There was no king in Israel, so everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, I think that humans can rationalize just about anything. Also in Isaiah chapter 5, it says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." There's a real danger of relying on ourselves to come up with our own wisdom, to come up with our own thinking, to come up with our own thing, what is right. There's a danger in that. Again, I believe human beings can rationalize just about anything. They deserve it. I deserve it. They're getting what's coming to them. They got too much anyway. We can get rid of inferior, fill in the blank. Okay? Humans can rationalize almost anything without having something that we can go to and rely upon as being the answer that's solid, the answer that's right. We're going to get off track. Even if it's just a little bit, it can make a big difference. Okay? And so where are we at, and what are we going to do? In life, we also need healthy checkpoints too. Myra and I, over the years, have bought a number of houses, and we've remodeled a number of houses, and I've learned a few things in remodeling houses. One of them, there's almost no corner that's square. Any of you? Yeah. You can have a brand new house, and you better check that corner before you start hanging wallpaper or paneling. Yeah, paneling's out of the 70s. You younger folks, I'll explain, okay? You all don't know what that is, but anyway. There aren't many floors that are level. Remember Bargain City? Okay. First house we had was on North Greenwood Street, and I was fixing the walls and putting up drywall. Well, a couple things I learned about drywall. I talked with my friend Bill Williamson on how do you put the drywall mud on. And he said, well, you put it on and with thinner and thinner coats. Understandable to Bill. What I heard was you kept watering this stuff down. Not exactly what he meant. Ask me how I learned that. I also used a power sander to sand the drywall the first time. Many of you see the perfect man that stands before you now. But Myra has lived through some times that weren't quite so perfect. God, laugh it up. It's all right. One time, there was a switch that needed to be rewired. And I started thinking. You ever get lost in thought? For me, it's unfamiliar territory. But I was working on a switch, and I got to thinking. You know, it's not like a plug where you've got the hot wire and the cold wire in the plug to make electricity. The switch is all, should be all cold. All you're doing, you know, the switch just, and I'm thinking, there's no hot and cold. It's okay for me to. You know what I found out? One of the principles of electricity is I can complete the circuit. My hair used to be dark. But we have to use tools to keep things level and square. If you're building anything, dresser drawers, a house, a life, We've got to have some tools in place to do things. So what do we got? What can we use? I think it's important that we can check your work. Now, one of the houses that Myra and I got the bright idea. It's this. Those of you that remember John Watson, they would love this. I went to him with an idea that I thought was a great idea, that the church could buy a house, fix it up and flip it. At the same time, we can give work to people inside the church and then make some money and pay for the program and you know, do that. I thought it was a great idea. You know what he said? You first. If you know Pastor John, that's pretty much what he said to me. You first. So I tried it. We bought a house on East Church Street, and we were going to fix it up and flip it. And we broke even as long as I don't count my labor. But one of the things that I discovered in that house, that the people that owned it before us had tried to remodel it. Well, there was a bathtub on the second floor. And you don't know anything about gravity and water and how it works? How do you think it works when the drain's up here? The drain's up here on this end of the bathtub. And that's how level it was. What do you think the odds of that bathtub draining are? See, that's where some of these tools could have come in handy. You know, we need healthy checkpoints in life as well. The scripture. That's pretty much it. You know, there are things in here. You know, I've talked to the Sunday school a number of times, that there's so much stuff that's in here. I do not need to pray whether God wants me to steal a candy bar or not. He's already spoken. It's in there. I don't need to know whether he wants me to lie to Jose or not. He's already addressed it. What about adultery? It's already been addressed. Anything like it, it's already in here. So it's important to know Scripture to understand where the line is. I don't have to take advantage of my brother in business. I don't have to. There's a line that I can trust that says don't use short scales or something to that effect. You know, don't put your thumb on the scales. Even that's in there. You believe that? It's in there. There's a lot of scriptures that are in there that help me keep a good plumb line to know whether I'm doing things right. And we can do some checkpoints from time to time. You know, but again, there's some things that aren't in the Bible. Now what do you do? Now what do you do? I had the opportunity a number of years ago in my business that my company offered me to transfer to Los Angeles and open up a new show out there. And the carrot that they dangled in front of us was a very large carrot. God, where are you? There's nothing in the Bible about that. There is. It's called family. It's called your church. It's called in James 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask wisdom of God who gives it generously. James 1:5, in case you're wondering where that's at. Okay. What about how do I discipline my child? There are some things in here about that, but not every situation is addressed. If they do, what do you do? What do you do? How do you handle a situation like that? What kind of a checkpoint do you use? Go back to here. How about, where do my kids go to school? What about who do I marry? What about if there's a church split? What do you do? That happened here about 30 years ago. And some of us lived through it. It wasn't pleasant, but some of us lived through it. What do you do? Where do you go? Do you go with them? Or do you stay? Your flesh is pulling you one way. But I'm going to tell you, you better find out what God's saying. You better find out what he's saying. I'll stop there. And when in doubt, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The Bible actually, what it means there in Colossians, when it says, let the peace of God rule, it means like an umpire. Let the peace of God rule. If you go with the peace of God, you're going to be right so much more than not. Let the peace of God rule like an umpire. Okay? So, but anything that you would come up with in your prayer life, it better line up with Scripture. That'll keep us from coming up with oddball things. You know, it needs to line up with the Scripture. It's okay to check with your spiritual leaders on whether this is good or not. Okay? But things need to line up. We need healthy checkpoints. For example, the scripture is the compass that we need. Some healthy checkpoints that I believe that we need to discover and need to utilize. Number one is self-worth. Where do we get the situation? Where do we get the understanding for self-worth? I don't know about you, but when I make a miscut out in the shop, dummy is a word that is used, but I'm wrong. That's not the right word to be used. The right word is, bless God, I have my fingers. Okay? I'm going to try to cut one off, but they sewed it back on. You know, we can come up with ourselves. We can make statements to ourselves like, I will always be this way. Is that what the Bible says about me? The Bible says I'm God's workmanship. So when I get that thought in my head that I'm not any good, Scripture can counteract that and give me a plumb line to measure from that says I'm okay. Because God made me and He don't make junk. Okay? Well, what about when other people speak into your life and try to come on your self-worth and they say things like, you'll never. Fill in the blank. You'll never. Well, what does the Bible say about the you'll never? My Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My Bible says that I'm a new creation. I don't have that other thing in there. I can be brand new. Yes. Okay? And by the way, that word new in 1 Corinthians 5:17, this is a new remote right? But how long have remotes been around? I remember when there were big old boxes, and clickies and all that stuff. Remotes have been around for a long time. This is just a new version of an old item. When the Bible uses the word new there, it means it's new, it's never existed before, it's never been created before, it's a brand new, it's the prototype. So that's the kind of person that Christ has created you to be, is a prototype, a person who's nobody ever been like you before and there won't be anybody like you ever again. That's my God. So that you'll never, according to Scripture, that's not true. So I need to believe Scripture. That should be my compass and not what somebody else has said. How about my family? That's a big one. You know, your family says, well, that's just how we are. Well, I have some good news for you. According to Romans chapter 8, we've been adopted into the family of God, and we have a brand new bloodline. So that may be how my family is, but I'm now of the God's family. I'm now a citizen of heaven. I don't have to be that way anymore. I can choose a different plumb line. We're free. I don't know. That's the best news you might hear today. It might be. One of the ones that I've always, it was a revelation to me a few years ago, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we need to take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. That includes the good thoughts. I always thought that just talking about the nasty stuff that rolls around inside the skull. But it's the good ones too. Because not everything that is good is God. And sometimes, especially this time of year, you're going to get pulled in your time from over here and over here and over there, and everything's good. It's good to seek God and find out, which one are you in, God? I want to go that way. Back to that plumb line. Back to the compass that we can use to say, which direction should we go? One of the other things that we have to have is personal responsibility. Take responsibility for our own actions. Now, this one was modeled for me very well. It's just the way it was around our house. If you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if you shouldn't, you're going to do it. Learn the next time not to agree to do something. That's the key. And my dad enforced that and made sure that we understood that that was the rule. So, that was modeled very well for me. I remember I bought my first car. I was 16 years old, and I bought a 1955 Oldsmobile Holiday 88. Push-button transmission. Six-way power seats. But if you honk the horn, the battery went dead. I paid $10 for that car. And I got took. Remember driving it from Columbus to Marion, and the front wheel was wobbling like this. My cousin was behind me watching to make sure that... Had a 455 engine in that thing. Painted it with a paintbrush. I got home. My dad said, where's the insurance for that car? I was going to get it next week after I got paid. He held out his hand and he said, Give me the keys. And that was the end of that car for about until I got insurance and I had to show him the paper. I have insurance. See, I learned responsibility at a pretty young age. Now, I am sure, if I'm pretty confident, that not everybody here had that modeled for them in their life. And I've got a glass here, and I don't know whether you can see whether that's half full or half empty. I don't know how you see things. I don't know if you're an optimist, pessimist. Might be a word. Word was friend. Who knows? But you know what the good news is? It truly, truly doesn't matter whether that glass is half full or half empty. Because it can be filled up. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether your background is one you were raised with responsibility or not. In Jesus Christ, you're a new creature. You don't have to be that way anymore. The glass can be full. You got delayed gratification. Again, my parents taught me well. I was about 12 years old. The neighbor kid got a new bicycle. And I said, "Hey, Dad, Kevin got a new bike. Can I get one too?" And he said, "Well, go buy it." I said, "Well, I don't have any money. You're going to give me the money?" And he said, "No, you're going to have to go earn it." I tell you, I still have that bicycle. I still have it. It took all summer pulling weeds and all kinds of stuff in order to be able to get the money to buy that bicycle. Montgomery Ward, 5-speed bicycle, red. Okay? Delayed gratification is normal for Bible people. I don't know if you think that you're the only one that you have to wait for God to move and for God to do things. But the idea of us Christians, us believers, having to wait around for God is 100% normal for the Bible. Abraham had to wait 25 years between the promise and when he got the son. David waited 25 years between the promise and when he became king. Moses waited 40 years and then another 40 years. Joshua waited 40 years. I'll even stretch it a little bit, and you correct me. I think Jesus waited thousands of years to come to earth. The Bible says he only sees what he sees the Father doing. I believe he's kind of sitting on the edge of his throne now saying, "Dad, can I go? Can I go? Can I go?" That's the way I picture Jesus ready to come back. It's normal to have to wait for things. And for us to have delayed gratification for a few months, weeks, years, it's okay. It's okay. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, that's the plumb line that God has drawn. It's normal to wait. So if you're waiting for something, you're normal. Okay. You know, I forget where I put it. Here we go. Let me find something here. I've got some questions. What's the circumference of the earth? Wait a minute. You're supposed to ask that. I stole it from him.
I don't have the answer. Why don't you Google it?
Here, let me find out. The circumference of the earth is 24,901 miles. Instant. In the old days, when I went to school, you know how you would have to find that out? I'd have to get on my red bicycle from Montgomery Ward, ride it down to the public library on South Main Street,
if they were open,
find a reference book, and somewhere in there it would tell me that the earth is 24,901. Now we stand in front of a microwave and look, hurry up. Right? Delayed gratification. Again, Scripture is full of examples where people had to do that and had to wait. Scriptural exploration is another topic. I don't know about you, but I'm not done learning. I still am learning facets of God. I'm still got things that sides of He's showing me. For years, I never understood, make God bigger. Well, how can we make God any bigger? He's already as big as you're going to get. How can you make God bigger? Because I can get closer. My hand out here, my hand here. The closer I get, the bigger things are. I told a joke last week in Sunday school about, I wondered why the baseball kept getting bigger and bigger, and then it hit me. And I will also tell you, I think the Bible gives this example that honest questions don't bother God. Have you ever had something in your life you didn't understand? Welcome to the club. I remember there was a man by the name of Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He was a teacher. And he came to Jesus at night because he was afraid his fellow teachers might see that he's asking a kind of a dumb question. How do I be born again? Do I go back in my mother's womb? And you know, that's kind of a stupid question. But it was an honest one. Jesus answered every honest question that was ever asked of him. The ones that were trying to set him up, not so much. But the honest questions, he never made fun of them. He never did anything like that. He answered. And I will here to tell you my experience of walking with Jesus is honest questions are okay. They are okay. We may not get the answers, but we walk by faith and not by sight. That's one of the other things I've learned. So spiritual exploration, don't quit learning. I don't care how many birthdays you've got, don't quit learning. Keep going. And then finally, our priorities. I think some of the compasses we have to use, the scripture is full of chances to talk about what should our priorities be. Do you do your watch TV or do your homework? Which first? That's a priority. Do you pay the electric bill or do you go blow it on something else? Priorities. We have to learn those things. Sometimes we learn things like that the hard way. You know, but understanding priorities. Again, I'm sorry about bringing my family up, but I was raised in a Christian home. I wasn't born again until I was 18, but it doesn't mean that I wasn't taught better than I lived. I remember my dad got paid every 2 weeks at Huber, which they didn't overpay people, by the way. Every 2 weeks, he'd set up the card table in the living room, and he would sort out the money on who got what. And the church always got, he always tied to the church. He was 56 years old, 1977, when Huber closed. And I remember him telling me, he said, who's going to hire a 56-year-old man with diabetes? And I looked at him, and I'm going to say it was the Spirit of God because I ain't this smart. And I said to him, Dad, you've been faithful to him for all these years of tithing your money. He's going to be faithful to you now at this time when you need it. And within 2 weeks, he had a job at Fairfield making more money than he was making at Whirlpool, or I mean working at Huber after 35 years. That's my God. That's having your priorities right. That's understanding what God's going to have you to do. And then he'll be there when we do those kind of things and set the priorities right. I've seen a lot of experience in doing that kind of a thing. If I could have the musician back up and the personal ministry team as well. I want to say that every family is going to have a different normal. What's normal for you may not be normal for anybody else. I want to be able to pray for folks. Are you an eyeballer? You just kind of look at things and say, well, it looks good. I want to pray for the folks that eyeball things. We need to get some tools out and measure and see whether we're doing things right. Folks that maybe your glass is half full. You don't understand. You know, I believe that God can fill that thing back up. And you can be full. You don't have to be the way you've been. You can be new. You can be different. Because my Bible says that it can happen. That we can change. We're not stuck with where we are, what we can be. So, contrary to Scripture is the abnormal thing.